Hey guys, you're listening to the Gen Pop Podcast with me, your host, Larry Doyle. Where each week, I'm going to bring in friends, guests, and experts to help enhance your health, fitness, and wellness journeys. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversations. So we're joined today by the fantastic Siobhan O'Hagan. Siobhan, you're welcome.
Thank you for the fantastic. I didn't know what you were going to call me.
We could call him many things, but we'll go for fantastic with it anyway.
Thank you. Delighted to be asked for the new venture.
Thanking you. And it's a pleasure to jump into this and be able to kind of have conversations with friends, because like we've known each other a long time and I've seen the whole evolution of you and yourself and everything that's gone with it. And that's something that we're going to dig into as we go through all this. But if you were to give the 30-second elevator pitch on who Siobhan O'Hagan is, go for it.
I'm an online fitness coach, and I think a lot of people follow my journey because I suppose I'm now working fully online. I'm in Bali. I've pretty much moved to Bali, and I from the corporate world, changed my life, pivoted, and I try to encourage others to do like to live like me as well in whatever way that looks like for them. So I'm a bit of a mixed bag. Like my main thing is that I'm an online fitness coach, and I just want to help other people who had a similar journey to me to have less stress when it comes to nutrition and training. Was that 30 seconds? Yeah,
close enough. We'll take it. But we'll jump into more. And I think that's where we're going to go with this, because while I'm going to interview a lot of coaches on this, and we have a lot of friends that have a lot of experience, the fact that you weren't always a coach, I think, is going to give so much value, and that there's a lot of other Siobhans that are out there, and there's a lot of other people that may be in similar scenarios, both male and female. This is not just female only. And it's like, I want to talk about that pivoting effect that it's the word of the moment at the minute, pivot. And we want to talk about that pivot on how you were able to evolve yourself and evolve things as you progressed throughout your life and over the last years, from being in the corporate world to, you know, setting up a side hustle to setting up a major hustle to setting up everything else, but then not being afraid to say no, to step back or take a U-turn, or to be able to do a life pivot from that perspective.
I'm excited. Just like what you're saying there, it's like it all comes down, I think, to fear and conquering it. And I suppose the biggest thing for me was just trying to forget what other people think about you. So when my whole journey started when I was absolutely miserable, you know, I'd studied financial and actuarial maths, but didn't really go down the actuary route. I was working in financial software. It was a good job. You know, I was living in D4. I had my social life. I was happy, or I thought I was happy. Like on paper, I was happy, but I just always felt something was missing. And especially when you feel like you're in the rat race. And I was kind of looking around going, is this it? Like, is this it for the next 40 years? I was 25 and I was like, I just, because I didn't really know anyone else who had done anything different, I just thought I was a bit weird. And it came to a point when I just got so upset in the office talking to HR. They were like, what can we do for you? I was like, I don't know. And then she was like, what do you really want to do? Stay in the gym all day? And so then she's like, why don't you be a personal trainer? And I was kind of like, no, mainly because I was like, I've never actually figured it out for myself. You know, like I'd never managed to get myself in shape. I was the kind of person who went to the gym, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then was on the wine on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But then the idea, it was kind of like out of a place of desperation. And I did the PT course, found that I actually really enjoyed fitness and training, and got myself in shape to be my own advertisement. But all of that had to be done by disregarding what everyone else was saying I should do. Like even leaving a permanent job, like that was like a permanent role. I just left and took a contract role just to do the PT course in the evenings. Even that was like, I had to explain to everyone that, oh, it's going to be a new career. And, you know, that I had a plan, even though I didn't really have a plan. I just knew I wanted to change something, and everything, even like setting up the Instagram, you know, I had to ignore all my friends' comments. I had to decide I wasn't drinking at the weekends because I wanted to train, you know, like all these things were like, okay, just a tunnel vision on what I wanted and not listening to other people's opinions.
And it's a very Irish thing that you get these 5-year plans and you're supposed to follow the path. And if you stray off that path, there's this massive fear of judgment or a fear of failure or a fear of this doesn't suit me now, but I can't change because I'm going to let my family down or I'm going to let my friends down or they're going to talk about me. And that's something I want to look at is, I guess, some of the coping mechanisms that you would have put in place or some of the stress management tools that you probably don't realize at the time or didn't realize at the time, but it's something you're using massively now within your own coaching business of how you're able to actually get that across. And it was the unknown of what you were going into that it wasn't so well done at the time, or it wasn't such a thing that you were starting a new business. And there was massive fear around that. But what coping mechanisms did you put in at the time, or what strategies did you have at the time that you were able to kind of do those life pivots with?
I mean, the easiest thing I used to say to myself is, okay, what's the worst that can happen? You know, so even when it came to quitting the permanent job, you know, it was in recruitment and I was like, okay, hold on. I just see how much they're hiring. Like if the worst case scenario doesn't work out, I can get another job in recruitment. Luckily I was in a position that I didn't have a mortgage. I had no responsibilities, no partner. So I was in a very good place that I was able to like, okay, worst case scenario, I moved back in with my parents. Studied it. And I've kind of used that throughout my life or since then. Like this is 5-6 years ago now since I set up the Instagram and even then going online, you know, it was a big step going. I'm sure you remember yourself going from in person, which was secure and you knew the people, and then going online where it was like, oh God, what if it doesn't happen? And then again, it was like, I can just go back to coaching. You know, I can go back to doing one-to-one clients. You know, it's not, when I think of the worst case scenario, it makes these big decisions better. But again, it has to be, I always have to remind myself not to care what other people think, you know, worst case scenario, and ignore what everyone thinks.
And did you find there was much friction though as well? And even though you're like, it's easy to say, I guess, you know, don't care what other people think, or to kind of, you know, wash it off your back. It's obviously going to impact you to a certain degree, or you're going to find, you know, a certain level of negativity or, you know, why are you doing that? Or why are you going against the grain? But how did you find you were able to manage that? Like, was it, you know, you're a lot more into meditation and journaling and stuff now, but did you find you used those at the time, or what was your kind of stress management tool?
No, I think what happened is that I started seeing the results of things. You know, like I started having a little bit of discipline, seeing the results of the discipline, and then it made it easier, or it made it easier to keep it up. Or like say, all my friends went off the drink in January and I felt amazing. And I was like, I'm actually going to keep this up. Yet, you know, people were kind of questioning. And I was like, actually, no, I'm really enjoying having a full weekend to, you know, train and learn and go outside and go on hikes. And, you know, I learned basically that when you start pushing outside your comfort zone, like that's when the magic happens, to throw in a cliche. So I had to... Even with training, like I realized that if I was going against the grain, which I knew was, what I thought was the grain was, you know, cardio, dieting really hard. And then I had discovered, you know, hypertrophy training and learning about macros and everything. And again, it went against everything I'd known, everything my friends were doing. But because I had seen it start to work, I was able to keep it going. And so I think I've applied that everywhere. It's like just going a little bit past what other people would be willing to do and then seeing it work. And then it was a lot easier to kind of stay on that path. I remember specifically when I used to be like taking my selfies in the gym or taking pictures of my food and sharing what I was eating. And, you know, my friends would kind of have the odd little comment and, you know, they'd be like, oh, why are you allowed to eat that? Or you don't want to take a picture of that first. And then I remember, I think it's BMW got in touch to give me a car for a year. And like my friends were like, what? And I'm like, remember all those little things I was doing? Like I knew and I, you know, there was purpose behind it. Like I wasn't, you know, so I kind of learned to just have this tunnel vision of knowing what I wanted to do and just chasing it.
But it's the thing that's like that to get something, I think there's that analogy of like to get a spaceship off the ground, it takes 90% of the fuel in the first, you know, X amount of seconds of that launch, and then it runs on far less. So it's creating that immediate buy-in or creating that immediate, I guess, instant gratification to that degree of it, where you can get that, you know, want for more and that desire to kind of kick on more. So I guess then as you progressed and I guess matured as well too, because now you're gone from doing stuff you didn't like doing, you found something that you really liked doing. What was the next pivot for you, or what was the next challenges that you found as you had kind of gone from leaving the job to now be a coach to now have a business starting up and an Instagram booming and stuff like that? What was the next challenges or pivots that you found that you faced?
I think it was probably all around my attitude to money, actually. You know, I think about it, you know, it was realizing, again, as I started, as soon as I was qualified as a personal trainer, I had so many people who wanted me to train them because they'd seen my transformation and I was waiting until I was qualified. So I was really busy, and so I had all this cash all of a sudden, and I was like, oh. And again, I felt a little bit, not unfulfilled, but I had to drill down my values and realize that I didn't want to be working every hour under the sun, which I think every personal trainer does at the start and then realizes. And what I did was work out the number of how much I actually needed in cash or in income. You know, I looked at expenses. I looked at, you know, what I could get sponsored because of obviously the Instagram. And then I worked out how many hours I had to do. And then I think I brought it down to like, say, 20, 25 hours a week, which gave me so much time then to start building the online business. And again, I wasn't very money driven. So the idea of the online business and pushing that way was the idea of freedom. But I've always kind of kept that idea that it's not about making lots of money. It's about making enough for what you want to do. And that's why I ended up traveling, I think, because again, I was like, God, I could actually live cheaper if I just go to Thailand and run the same business. So it's always been a kind of my attitude to money has been just do enough, which is sometimes, you know, fails me a little bit. Like sometimes I'm not very driven because I'm like, oh, I have enough to do what I want to do. But it helps
gets you
me,
happiness and, then as well too, right? Because
yeah, and like I do think it also really, really did help my business as well, because when everyone was selling online transformations and 6-week, you know, booty builder classes, I don't know, I knew what I had done that worked for me, and it was a long-term thing, and it wasn't fancy. It wasn't actually complicated. It was actually quite simple. And over the years, it's been so tempting to sell it as, or, you know, to like even make someone diet hard to get those amazing pictures. And I always stuck at my morals because, and like, I have a business partner. He'd be like, oh, we could do this. And I'm like, no, doesn't sit well at me. I'm like, I want to stick with this way. And it's definitely paid off in the long run. It's like everyone has tried all these, you know, quick fixes and blah, blah, and it's come back to me. And so now my business is doing really well. And I'm like, that's because I do think it's your attitude to money. I think if you're chasing money too hard, I don't know, you end up then spending it on fancy things to show that you're earning loads of money. And I don't know. Yeah, it's an attitude, like, I think people need.
Yeah. And this is where, like, I felt like, and I've experienced that as well too, that, you know, you have these expectations that you should have X by certain years in your life, and that you should have the mortgage, and you should have the house, and you should have the car, and you should have all these things. And we done that as well, where we had, Kate had left her work, started coming in for me, working for me, and we had gone to try go move to Marbella and live there. And we tried it out for a month, and we're like, well, that was what we wanted at the time, but it didn't actually suit us at all. And then we started coming back and settled down. We got an apartment, got a house. And then there was other things where you think that you want these, I guess, ego-driven or money-driven things. I got the Range Rover and I'm like, cool. Everyone's going to look at me in my awesome Range Rover and think, oh, how cool is Larry's Jeep? And I'm like, it was either people who were like drug dealers thought it was really cool, or people who were like 17 thought it was really cool. And I was like,
yeah,
I don't give a fuck what they think about me. And like, why am I actually worrying about that? Or why is my ego telling me I should have these things? And I was okay with actually stepping away then and be like, okay, that's not actually what I want.
But it does happen in Ireland. I mean, like, I find that even during the summer, I was like, I have a handbag sitting up there now that I don't drive around with here because it's too fancy. And I'm like, what? And I wouldn't really be into like material things, but it was just one day after spending summer in Ireland, I was like, yeah, I really want that bag. Bought it, and it's looking at it now, I'm going, well, I do think traveling kind of, especially around Asia, makes you really question some of the values we had at home. You know, like, because everyone here just drives a scooter, no matter how much money you have, everyone's just driving similar mopeds. You know, there's no, if someone showed up in a fancy dress or something, you'd be like, where are they going? Like, it's just such a, it's I just think there's different values here. And then it made me go home and kind of reflect on that and be like, okay, I don't, because I wouldn't be the same. I'd be like, okay, I really want to buy a nice car. I really want to impress everyone. I want people to know that I'm being successful. Like, that's how people show success. When really I was like, hold on, if I buy a car, I'll be stuck in a loan. You know, I'll be stuck in a, a lease agreement for a couple of years when that won't really work if I want to travel again. So, you know, I think traveling really helped me question my other values and realign them.
This is where people get tied into those 5-year plans or 25-year plans when they end up getting stuck into a mortgage or stuck into cars that they think they need or that their parents feel that they need or that they have to get this approval from the social circles that they have to get these boxes ticked off at such an early year. And it's this fear of stepping away from that then as well too. So as you've experienced that through different cultures with your travels then, like what have you noted from, I guess, your main ports of call are, I guess, between Dublin, Portugal, and now in Bali as well too. But between those three different cultures, what have you noticed that's the most striking difference?
It's funny, I spent a summer in Portugal when I was just finished college, so maybe 22, and it was the first time I'd spent any time in another culture, and there was a lot of expats there kind of working in bars or working in or selling tickets for boat trips or whatever. And I remember looking at them and being so confused. I was like, everyone's so happy here, but no one really has a career. And I remember being like, that's so strange. And like, I'd never really thought about that before because I was getting ready to leave. I was getting ready to go home and start a graduate program and, you know, start my career. And that was it. So I remember being so confused. And it was my auntie Roisin, you know, I was like, when are you going to go home and get a real job? And she was like, this is my life. And I was, yeah, I'd never really thought about it. But then I did go home and I got a real job and did that for a couple of years. And then traveling around Southeast Asia, it's so hard to explain. It's like no one cares what you do. It's all about spending time with people. It's about like making money, but just enough, or else just making money to provide a service for the community. So ever since I've been here, it almost makes me look back at the things I wanted to, I thought I needed, like a mortgage or, and even now I still think, like, should I be getting a mortgage? But then I'm so clear on my values and what I want that I look at a mortgage and I'm like, no, because I could, like, everything could fall apart next month and I have absolutely no debt. You know, it's not that I'm making loads of money, but I've reduced my expenses. I've no debt. So like I can take risks. I can, you know, the coronavirus could happen and I can pivot. I can change anything. I know that, like, I'm not unrealistic when I say, I know Instagram isn't going to last forever. But I'm also aware that I can apply myself to do anything. Like I really want to work in a coffee shop. Like I just love the idea of somewhere that everyone comes to talk every day. I'm thinking I want my own coffee shop because I want to make my own rules and big dogs and laptops. But like that's, you know, worst case scenario, just get a job in service. And, you know, like I always know I'll be adaptable. So it just takes the fear out of everything. And I just think more people need to kind of look at that and realize that there are options there.
But that's a culmination, I guess, of your experiences from having extremes in your life, that you've been through so many different phases of, I guess, different versions of Siobhan that you've had between different lifestyle choices.
I know
what version
you're going to bring up.
Well, there's different lifestyle choices, different ethnic choices, there's different physique choices. There's so many different versions of you. But like, what was the most influential on deciding against that? Was it going from, you know, types of training to now being in the CrossFit community? Was it the travel? Was it the, you know, the dipping your toes into the vegan world or the physique world? Or what was the thing?
I don't know. And I'm doing Claire McGrath's course at the moment, and it's all about kind of values, and it's called a wake-up call where you're trying to make changes. And I'm really sitting here going, life's pretty perfect and I don't want to change anything. So I'm also trying to drill down on why am I just perfectly happy today? And I'm like, is it the community? You know, like I just had a great training session with friends. Is it the food I just had delivered to my desk for €5? Is it like just going for coffee in the mornings? Is it the sunshine? Is it the no pressure to impress anyone with, you know, getting a new property or getting a new car or getting, I'm not really sure if there's any one thing that kind of made me make these choices, but I think it's a culmination and looking, and I don't know, I do look at other people's lives. Like I've decided I don't want kids, and you know, people always say, oh, you might change your mind and blah blah, but I've never looked at someone's life with kids and said I wish that was my life. And I've had a lot of people say to me, like, oh, you've got a good life, you're very lucky and blah, blah. I'm like, it's not really luck, like I made these decisions. And I shared the message because I always think, if in case there's me 6 years ago watching me, to realize that there are other options. Like for some people, it's not, I'm not saying that you need to all go and sell your house and go live on the beach. But I mean, I just want people to feel fulfilled every day. And it's just so sad seeing people saying to me, oh, you have a great life. And I'm like, you know, you could sell that house and live off the proceeds for a year on the beach. But yeah, I was actually reading Tim Ferriss's book. It's all about these mini retirements. And I don't know, I just think it's a different way of thinking that we don't get unless, I don't know, maybe unless we travel a little bit just to kind of see different cultures and get out of the 9-to-5 mortgage, kids, marriage. And yeah, then I don't know what's after that.
I guess with the current situation that and what it's presenting with us, with the lack of travel and the lack of ability to be nomadic to that degree, that I guess we're talking to now a lot of younger Siobhans, or maybe older Siobhans as well too, that are going to hear this, and that it's those experiences where you were able to pivot and move that little bit more in terms of saying no to the current job, or maybe moving to the side hustler, to having that, to have the balls to actually step up and step away from what, or ovaries, to be able to step up and step away from those current, I don't want to call them shackles, but shackles that are holding people back from the life that they really want. And it's now, like, again, like we're saying, it's the culmination of those experiences that you had. So like for anyone that's listening, what would you say to kind of, to give them the, it's okay to change? What would be your little speech, or kind of your...
Yeah, well, it's always like, what's the worst that can happen? You know, if you do try something else, or, you know, I always think there's always something that can be done. If you're not where you want to be, there's some step you can take today, even if it's like doing or reading a book on something you're interested in. You know, just doing something every day that feels like you're moving forward, rather than just stuck in this circle, or, you know, vicious circle maybe. You know, if there's, like, I decided I want to write a book, you know, and I was like, I don't know where to go. And I, you know, just started a course on how to write a book. And then it gave me just more meaning, because a lot of the time, you know, there's nothing, I don't feel that focused on anything new at the moment. So I've tried to give myself new goals, just to feel like I'm getting up and not just wasting a day, that I'm learning something new, or I'm achieving something new. So I think if people feel like that, even if they don't change anything in their life, if they're like, okay, I'm going to read something that interests me, that will push me a step forward, I'm going to do a Skillshare course, I'm going to do a few less hours in work, I'm going to sell that car and get a cheaper car. You know, I always say, work out your number, like realize how much money you need, and don't work any more than that, because you can't take it with you.
And that's massive as well, because, you know, that's, I think people just put these fixations on numbers, and they probably set the bar a little bit too high, or kind of have these unrealistic expectations. And that's, I guess, a lot of that comes from social media and like looking at different things and, you know, people showing off all the highlight reels and whatnot too. And it can kind of drive people to say, well, maybe I should go towards that, because these people seem to be really happy in what they have, and all these fake kind of,
but someone asked me yesterday how much I saved up to go traveling. And I was like, nothing. Like I just, again, worked out numbers, worked out how much I'd need to live in Thailand and how much I'd need in Dublin. And I was like, it actually didn't make sense to be paying rent in Dublin when I could be in Thailand. And I just think like, that was like, nobody. It's, and then they wrote back to me again. We're like, no, that you couldn't have gone no money. And I was like, I mean, I just moved my life. But I just think it's these concepts that people have never even considered. And that's why I like sharing it. It's like, you know, there is life outside a mortgage.
Well, there's massive bonuses.
There is other routes to take.
And there's massive bonuses from that now. And like, I've had, you know, so many clients that were removed from their office and they're now working from home, and they're getting a taste of life, of what this kind of laptop lifestyle to a degree might feel like. And a lot of people are feeling so good. I had one client, she was coming in and out from Mullingar every day on the train, and her weekly commute was up to 20 hours a week to go in to sit at a desk. And she was like, how can I tell my boss how good I feel now by not having this commute and not having to do this? And I was like, okay, let's look at it. But we checked out her Fitbit, and I was like, tell me your resting heart rate from 2 months ago and tell me your resting heart rate now. It was down 20 beats a minute. And she had just removed this massive amount of stress. And she's kind of saying, well, I don't need to be in Dublin. And I'm not trying to drive people away from Dublin, but like there's so many more opportunities now that people are looking at. There's dead rent in Dublin and there's all these dead jobs and dead offices that people have now been removed from, and they've been given a massive opportunity to double down on themselves and to capitalize on that. And I think there's going to be a lot more Siobhan's born from COVID in that way, that we can really now pivot with these lifestyle choices that people wouldn't have gone towards it because of fear, but now they've kind of been forced into it through COVID.
Yeah, it's been normalized. I'm reading, or just finished, Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week, and there's like just chapters and chapters talking about how to approach your boss about remote working and how to show that it can be more productive for both, you know, and, you know, more profitable, which is always the main thing. So like, if you can prove to your, like, you don't have to go and set up your own business to go traveling or to live just a little bit more or have some more freedom. Like, if you can just prove to your boss that it's more profitable for you to work 4 days instead of five, your boss shouldn't, you know, that should make sense for them. You know, like, they don't want you at that desk 8 hours a day. They just want the work done. So, you know, if you can work with your management to find a way that suits you, like, that book has loads on it. I'd highly recommend reading it if someone actually needs to have that conversation. But I do think it's interesting seeing how things are changing. You know, rent in Dublin might go down. Like, it's crazy. I was in the Dublin city centre all summer, and like, just all the huge offices empty. And what's crazy was that there were so many more offices being built. And I was like, I don't know, who's going to fill these? And
who's going to fill them?
It's kind of mad stuff, yeah.
And that's where, like, we had, myself and Kate, we lived in Dublin for 6 years. And we had experienced that too. And we were just pumping dead money into it. And like, we've kind of built this lifestyle now where we're able to move away. We had tried the whole beach laptop style thing where we were in Marbella. Didn't suit us. And that was fine as well too. That, and I guess, right, we're both from Wexford. So it was a natural instinct for us to move back from Dublin towards Wexford. But when you're looking at just the dead money that you're pumping into, like, we've a mortgage on with an acre here, and it's like, you know, it's a fraction of what it was costing us for a 2-bed apartment in Dublin. And it's just to look at that.
I mean, to be that thing, as most people become more location independent, like, it'll definitely change the market. It's funny that you're saying what you call it dead money, because I was thinking about this, about mortgages and like how much money I spent on rent because I don't have a mortgage. And it's funny, I was like, I don't actually consider it dead money. I'm like, it's actually something that I use every single day. It means that I have the freedom. Like, I'm living in this big, huge 4-bedroom villa at the moment for less than the price of the apartment in Dublin. But also then if I want to go to Dublin, I could just go and rent. You know, like, I think I'm paying a bit extra for the freedom to move around. And like, that's my values. So that's, it's just changed my perspective on rent, because I did kind of always feel a bit guilty. Like, maybe I should get a mortgage. You know, it is a waste of money. And I'm like, oh, I'm actually getting a lot of use out of it.
And so that's the thing, it's
a different perspective.
Exactly. And it's to have these different values that, again, like, there's two different interpretations of the same thing, and that they're both perfectly okay because they align with the values of the individual that's separating towards them. And that's something that, you know, that's the one thing I don't want with this, I guess, podcast when we're reaching people, is to, like, that we're trying to force our opinions down people's necks. So it's like, well, here's two very different opinions with this. And, you know, it's take both and actually see what sits with you, as opposed to me trying to force my values on top of you, or me trying to force these opinions of you should leave Dublin, or you shouldn't have a mortgage, or you should go to Bali or whatever.
Yeah, like, I just think people, the most important thing is they need to be in line with their own values, like, to understand, like, to make sure that if they are getting mortgages, it's because they want it and not because, and I think that's a lot of people don't have, they don't stop and think and really self-discover on what they want, you know. And I've had that, people like, I had a kid because I just thought it was the right thing to do, and now I regret it. Like, I've had messages like that, and it makes me so sad. I'm like, I just wish people would drill down on their thoughts and question why they want something, and then if it is what you want to do, I'm like, go for it. Like, some of my best friends are, you know, I'm delighted for them. Like, they get their mortgage, get a gorgeous house, they're so happy, and I'm happy, they're happy. But if they were unhappy, I'd be like, okay, let's talk. You know, what do you really, really want in life? And that's the message I always want to get across. You don't need to go and live on a beach. You just need to make sure you're feeling fulfilled and content day to day.
And for, I guess, like, to kind of bring all this back around into it then, if you were talking to younger Siobhan to help her find her values, or because we keep on talking about, you know, sticking to your values or find your values and kind of discover them, how do you discover your values? How do you go through that process? So if we were to kind of...
Yeah, because the first reason, I mean, the first thing I was like, oh, I want to be a personal trainer and I'm going to work my ass off to make that happen. And I did. And then I was like, okay, why do I... But then, so basically what I do is figure out what I want and then ask myself why I want it. So I want to become a personal trainer. I drilled down. I was like, I actually really enjoy helping people feel better. And then when it came to like, why do I want to work online? And I was like, I really enjoy traveling. I enjoy the freedom. I like having my own, like freedom is my value. But I only figured that out. I was kind of like, why do I want to travel? Or why don't I want to be here at 6 a.m.? It's like, I want to be able to run my own day. So freedom, flexibility, happiness, like freedom and happiness were always my values. So then it made it easier to make any kind of life decisions when you're very clear on your values. Especially when it came to like training and nutrition, you know, I was able to say, I started moving away from obviously the bodybuilding and everything and then going, do I want to eat a salad or, you know, or do I want to eat a salad or do I want to join my family for dinner? And I'd be like, okay, values are freedom and happiness. I'll go with going with my family. But at the same time, knowing that happiness isn't always eating crap, you know, like happiness is also feeling good. So drilling down on your values, like ask yourself if you won the lotto, what you do. Ask yourself what that actually means. You know, it could be that you just want to have more time to spend with your family, which you don't need to win millions. You know, you can do that now. It might mean you want to go travel the world, which you definitely don't need millions. You just need like less travel bans and freedom, you know, like, so it's kind of figuring out what you think you want and drill that down to what that actually means and working towards that.
So it's to actually take out the pen and paper. And it's to write down the goal. Yeah. And then it's to say, is this in line with my values? And it's either a very clear yes or no. It's not kind of a maybe. It can't be kind of a value. It is either in line or not. And that's something I guess people need to take away, is that it's to do the bit of self-reflection or do that bit of work and insight on it to say, is this in line? Yes or no? Scrap it. Get the next piece in. And it's literally as simple as that. And, you know, we're talking about life decisions or like people making great decisions that are going to impact them down along the line. But it literally is as simple as, is it in line? Yes or no? And then it's staying true to your values, which is, I think, massively important. So I guess...
And that's where the meditation and yoga really does. I mean, I've kind of I realized after a couple of years, that's what pretty much, not yoga, journaling. That's what I realized after a couple of years, that's what I was doing. You know, like, and I think I journal every day, just really scribble down my thoughts. And I might say something and then, or I might be like, oh, ruined myself yesterday. I didn't, you know, like I, when you write it down, you kind of look at yourself and go, is that a rational thought? And that's why I do encourage all my clients to write their thoughts, especially ones that are struggling with nutrition. You know, people who think, I can't eat that much. What? And I'm terrified to eat that much. And I'm like, terrified. Let's look at that word. Like, worst case scenario, you put on a few centimeters this week. Like, that's the worst case scenario. What will that look like? So again, that's coming back to, what's the worst that can happen? Understanding what's going on in your brain and what you really want.
So now that we've figured out some values, I guess it's the cliche thing to like, tell me three things, you know, at the end of kind of when we're wrapping up a podcast or something like this. But if you had three prompts for someone who's wanting to start journaling, what would those three prompts be that you'd tell them to journal each day?
I always kind of stick with when I always say, yesterday, I'm glad that, and I'd talk about something I enjoyed, and it also forces you to find something you enjoy when it wasn't a good day. Then I have today, I'm excited for, and again, just kind of what looking for something positive that's ahead of you, and then just three things I'm grateful for, which can be the same thing every day, but it makes you find gratitude in like the smallest things. You know, I'm like, I'm just grateful for this coffee. I'm just grateful for to wake up here. Because even day, like I feel like I'm living the dream, but there's still days where I'm like in bad mood and having terrible things happen. And then I'm like, actually, I'm just great. Like I look back at my gratitude and be like, I'm just grateful for it.
And this is
three things.
Yeah, and it's something I've started to put in now as well. And when you actually think about those moments, it's like you actually get this little warm fuzzy feeling, and it's like, you know what, that's actually all right. And again, it's not going into that worst case scenario with it all. So I think that's absolutely awesome in terms of like what we've covered and like the message that we might be able to portray to younger, older, in between, Siobhan, whoever it may be, that's thinking about pivoting that little bit more throughout with their life now with what COVID is presenting them, and that they're able to now maybe have the confidence or a little bit more knowledge in terms of taking the next step or taking action. that's what we want to hear people do, and we want to know people's feedback on that, what action steps they're going to take as they go forward with it. But Siobhan, I want to thank you so much for coming on today and to give us those insights and give us your
Can't wait to see experience. All the other I mean, there are going to be some good episodes. You've got good network, so there's going to be a lot to be learned. Can't wait.
Yeah, and we're going to have you back on as well too. So we're keeping the episodes relatively short, but we're going to deep dive into some other things as well too and provide loads of value with that. So for us, thank you very much, Siobhan, for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thanks again.
A huge thank you to Siobhan for joining us today in the podcast and delivering what I feel is massively relevant content to you. And if you're another Siobhan who's listening to us, take action. Get onto it today, write down those lists, describe your values, and start following them and what is true to your heart. If you found value in this, please share, subscribe to the podcast, leave me a review and some feedback. And if there's anything you think we can improve on, as always, give that constructive criticism as well too. We thank you so much for joining in and listening. Have an awesome day.